Blog Talk Radio.
Happy 2021. This is your girl, Chinchilla, and welcome to the very first news forum of the new year. Tonight's topic, Hidden Agenda Part 2.
Education, religion, holidays, the judicial and legislative system, burning and question of guilt and judicial gerrymandering.
What will this new year uncover for you?
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, but you sure can't hide.
Now, here is your host, Miss Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and I hope your 2021 has started off well. Tonight, we have a wonderful show in store for you tonight. I have some special guests tonight that will be joining me to talk about these very controversial issues tonight. And tonight's topic is Hidden Agendas Part 2, because last week we just didn't have enough time to get through everything. So people want to hear more about Hidden Agendas. So tonight is Part 2 of Hidden Agendas. And tonight we will be talking about the educational system, the judicial and legislative systems, also holidays and religions, and what type of hidden agendas do you need to uncover in your life? Just think about that for a moment, people. But anyway, those of you that are on the World Wide Web listening tonight, and if you feel as though you would like to chime in and comment or ask a question tonight, please feel free to call 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. And then you just press 1 if you want to talk to any of our guests tonight. And you will be put in the queue. But our guests tonight are Danny Seisler, who's a Bucks County attorney, and he's also running for district attorney out there in Bucks County. We also have Carol Cooneyholm, who is the chairwoman of Fair Districts Pennsylvania. And we also have Sun752 join us again tonight. Now, before we get into our guests, let me just do what News Forum has to do before I do anything else, is what give you some news from around the world. And tonight, we're going to, guess what, talk about the coronavirus again, because these numbers are just totally outrageous. And we are now at, oh my God, wait till you hear these numbers. And before I give you the numbers, today is what I call Corona Sunday. And that's simply because today, worldwide infections increased by 1 million, and so did the infections in the United States of America today increase by a whole another million infections. And that is absolutely insane, people. So right now, we have worldwide infections are at, let me give you this number, it's going to be off the chain, because yesterday, we were at 84.5 million, and Friday is when we reached 84 million. So today we are at 85 plus million infections worldwide now, and the number is growing. We didn't just make it to 85 million today, but we are now at 85.5 million infections worldwide, which means that tomorrow we will have 86 million worldwide infections because of the way that these infections are increasing so rapidly. The United States of America right now, we went up to 21 million infections today. We reached 21,113,528 coronavirus infections. Crazy. The top five countries are the United States of America being number one for the most infections as well as the most deaths. Worldwide, out of 218 infected countries, India is number two, Brazil is second, Russia is fourth, and France is number five. Those are the top five, and they've been hanging in there, being the top five for quite a while now. The next state, the next country that is under us is India with 10 million, but as you can see, we have twice the amount as India does in infections. Our death toll right now in the United States of America is 360,078. The worldwide deaths, 1,850,209 deaths worldwide. Deaths worldwide are now nearing 2 million, and that is just absolutely ridiculous. Even with the vaccines now that have been approved by the FDA here in the United States, and as well as other countries have approved the vaccine, but the vaccine doesn't seem to be doing any good because the infections are totally out of control. And now with the new strain of coronavirus now that's out, it has affected now 33 countries. It has affected now. And in the United States of America, five states have been reported having this new strain of mutated coronavirus, which appears to be stronger than the one that we are already experiencing. And so this is just ridiculous. And who knows when we'll be out of the realm of this coronavirus pandemic, because we are in a new year now. And when March rolls around, that's when we first started really realizing that the virus was infecting the United States of America. So that's coming up, and we will still be in this pandemic, people. So all we can do right now is just pray that things will get better and people will start to wear a mask. All right, so that is the coronavirus updates. And I know people probably like, well, where's Philadelphia? Where's Pennsylvania? Where's New Jersey? And I'm not going to give you all of those different states right now. I just wanted to tell you who were the top five worldwide record holders for this coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, it's just getting worse and worse, people. And we've lost so many people during the year of 2020 to this coronavirus pandemic. And I just pray that this year we will not lose as many people worldwide or countrywide, because lots of families are mourning this new year for coronavirus. And that's it for the news right now. But we do have a wonderful news forum for you tonight. We're talking about hidden agendas. And I already told you who my guests are tonight. And we are going to actually talk with our first guest. Our first guest tonight, we're going to be speaking with Daniel Seisler, who is an attorney in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And he is running for district attorney there in Bucks County. He's not on here tonight to campaign or anything like that, but I just thought I would put it out there that he is running for DA. So we could say, well, what is his hidden agenda tonight? What's his hidden agenda to come on the show tonight to plug his campaign? No, he did not come on here to do that, but he came on here tonight to talk about judicial gerrymandering. All right, let's welcome our guest tonight, Daniel Seisler. Good evening, Daniel. Well, how are you tonight?
Good evening, Chinchilla. Thank you so much for having me on. And for what it's worth, if Carol is out there, she is very much an expert on this as well. So I am very excited to be talking about an issue I'm passionate about, which is stopping this judicial gerrymandering bill. I certainly hope there are some questions for Carol on this, as she is one of the leaders statewide in fighting this terrible, terrible bill that is going to hurt Pennsylvanians really across our entire Commonwealth, should it pass.
Wow. Now, Danny, can you please explain to the listeners exactly what gerrymandering is?
So gerrymandering generally is when districts for representatives are drawn. And, you know, Pennsylvania has, for example, 50 state senators, and each one of them represents a district. They have a certain number of voters that they are responsible for and they answer to, and those voters choose whether to reelect that state senator each year. Same with members of Congress and the members of the state house. And gerrymandering is the process of drawing the lines for those districts to favor one party or another. So the districts, and again, to use the state Senate, for example, most across the Pennsylvania, they don't look like nice boxes, and they don't always fit around county lines or township lines. A lot of the times these districts will cut through neighborhoods, can even cut down blocks to draw around areas where there are Democrats or where there are Republicans in order to make it easier for, in our case in Pennsylvania, because the lines are drawn by Republicans, to get more Republicans elected. So there are a lot of districts that are about 65%, 35% Republicans. So a lot more people will go out and vote for, you know, Republicans will win in those districts. And then what people do is they pack all of the Democrats into a smaller number of districts. So there are districts that are like 90% Democrats. So they fit them all into a small number of districts. And what this means is districts become much less competitive and they become much more difficult for both parties to have a fair shot. And where this is coming up in terms of judicial gerrymandering, or did you want me to pause for a second on that, on what I just answered?
No, you can go ahead.
Sure. So there are some positions that are elected statewide, so they aren't fit into districts. And judges, particularly our appellate judges in the three appellate courts in Pennsylvania, are not gerrymandered. They are not drawn into districts. The voters from across Pennsylvania vote for the judges of our Commonwealth Court, our Superior Court, and our Supreme Court. And right now, our Supreme Court, which makes some of the most important decisions that will impact people's lives on a daily basis, is controlled by Democrats. But what Republicans are trying to do is make it so judges are elected by district instead of statewide. And Republicans will gerrymander these districts, so they will make lines that favor Republicans, and that way Democrats will likely lose control of the Supreme Court, will lose control of the Superior Court, which we are very likely going to flip in the near future, and the Commonwealth Court, which is dominated by Republicans at this point, would likely stay close to the same. The way Republicans are able to it would be catastrophic. And Carol, when she comes on, can go into more detail about why this is so problematic. The way that this could happen, and there's a way we can stop it, but the way that this could conceivably happen, and the Supreme Court and the Superior Court and the Commonwealth Court could be broken down into these gerrymandered districts, is if a bill that is already passed the House and Senate once, called House Bill 196, if that passes the House and Senate in two consecutive sessions, so we are coming up now on the second consecutive session where it could pass, if that happens, then it goes to a vote statewide. It will go on a ballot, and people will have the opportunity to vote on it. And if it passes, then what will happen is it will become part of our Constitution, that these districts will – judges will have to work in part of districts and be elected by district. The courts will be gerrymandered. And oftentimes these ballot measures just pass because most people vote yes when they see a ballot measure without really critically evaluating what it means. So what we need to do at this point right now, and Carol can certainly go into detail on how we can stop it, but people need to reach out to their legislators, their members, their representatives in the state House and state Senate, and urge them to vote against House Bill 196 the next time it comes up.
Okay, so you want them to vote against House Bill 196. And is that because that would like give the judicial regions for the highest courts in Pennsylvania? Would that give the legislators control over the regional maps and all?
Well, House Bill 196 would then put the question on the ballot for the voters to decide whether there should be these districts. But again, the issue is not only is it a bad idea in the first place, and it sounds like, yes, it's some people say, oh, let's let the voters decide. But oftentimes voters will just vote yes on ballot questions. And this is such a radically significant issue that it will be it's just not something that we want on the ballot. It is so highly problematic in terms of the way this will impact our state. We want this bill killed and not put to a vote. So we want people to urge their legislators to vote no on House Bill 196.
Okay. And so if they vote no, then it doesn't be, it's not then presented for public vote.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Great. And now what would be the benefit to constituents for not wanting that bill to pass?
Sure, because what we want are judges who represent the entire state. Judges aren't supposed to represent any particular district. They're not supposed to represent people. The whole point of having a legislator, someone who votes in Congress or the House, is they represent people. Judges are not supposed to represent people. We want judges to interpret the Constitution and protect the rights of really the minority, and we don't want them to have to be responsible to a certain set of people. Their only responsibility is to uphold the Constitution of both the United States and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And if we start drawing them into these gerrymandered districts, first they become much more responsible to a smaller subset of people, and also the districts that, and I'm speaking now as a partisan, I'm speaking as a partisan Democrat, the Supreme Court, which we have worked so hard over the years to win for the Democrats, would very likely be lost by the way the districts have been gerrymandered or will be gerrymandered, which in turn will likely lead to the greater gerrymandering of the state House, state and state Senate districts down the line, because the Supreme Court has the ability to protect voters from overly gerrymandered state House and state Senate districts. So by losing the Supreme Court, we would then likely lose the legislature as well. And we are looking at essentially permanent Republican control of the government in Pennsylvania.
Okay. So now if that happens, then would that, I guess, mean that the legislature then is defying constitutional requirements and join those distorted legislative districts? And would it also mean that to hold legislators accountable, would that like somewhat diminish that?
Absolutely. Gerrymandered districts do make it very, very difficult to hold legislators accountable. Because what happens is if you have a district where it's virtually impossible to mount a challenge from another party, which is most districts in Pennsylvania, particularly at the House of Legislature, then you're not going to be able to hold legislator accountable. They're going to be able to vote for whoever, you know, vote however they want. They're going to be less accountable to the people. It's good for democracy. It is good for democracy to have competitive districts, to have fair districts. And again, Carol can absolutely talk more on this. But we want fair districts that are drawn along county lines and township lines, and they're not drawn specifically to keep one party in power.
Okay. All right. Okay. That sounds very interesting. All right. And now let me just ask you a question now. Now, this is not on judicial gerrymandering, but I am just curious to know what, I guess, fuels Danny Seisler. Okay, what fuels you to want to run for DA? Like, what is your agenda for running for DA? Let everybody know.
Well, so I won't give you the hidden one. I'll give you the real one. So I spent most of 2020 working on the COVID-19 crisis management team at the Pentagon. I was in the Army.
Okay.
And when George Floyd was murdered in the streets of Minneapolis, and protests sprung up around the country, I got moved from the COVID-19 crisis management team onto what was called the civil unrest crisis management team. And while I was on the civil unrest crisis management team, my job was every day. I worked overnights, and my job was to prepare a briefing for the general who briefed the highest levels of our government. And I briefed him on what was happening in all over the country, in Minneapolis and Philadelphia and Kenosha and Louisville and Seattle and Portland. And I tried as hard as I could to message up the chain of command that what people were marching for was just and was righteous, and that this wasn't Antifa trying to take over the country, that systemic discrimination and racism exists, and we have to start listening to people. You might not be surprised to know my pleas and my messages fell on deaf ears. And it was really at that time and in that moment, I just grew frustrated of constantly trying to convince people who didn't want to listen to us and my people in my generation about things that we just knew were true. And what I know is true. As an attorney, as someone who has practiced civil rights law, our criminal justice system is broken. It is fundamentally broken. Mass incarceration, systemic discrimination are stains on our country, and fighting mass incarceration is the civil rights movement, I believe, of our generation. And I wanted to be a part of that fight. And here in Bucks County, we are really the mass incarceration hub of southeastern Pennsylvania. We are still putting people in jail for marijuana possession. We are still putting people in jail left and right because they don't have $1,000 to pay a cash bail. Nobody was standing up to take on these issues. And as a district attorney, you have enormous authority, if only you're willing to use it, to combat systemic discrimination, to combat mass incarceration, and to make the community safer in the process. Everything that I want to do as DA, getting people into treatment, not putting people in jail because they're too poor to pay bail. These things make the community safer, they make it stronger, and they make it more resilient in the long term. So that is why I decided to run for district attorney of Bucks County.
Wow. Okay, that sounds great, Danny. Well, I am definitely going to have you back on the show to actually talk about your campaign and everything before Election Day. Now, for your primary, when is the primary for Bucks County?
My primary is May 18th, okay. 2021.
Okay. All right. So we have plenty of time. So I will definitely get you back on. And I thank you so much for coming on to the show tonight to share with the listeners about judicial gerrymandering. And
thank
you
so much for having
me. Out. And I know you have to get up 4:30 in the morning. So, yeah.
So, it's going to be an early night for me. But your listeners are very lucky. If you want to continue talking about judicial gerrymandering, Carol is as much of an expert as there is anywhere. This has been – fighting judicial gerrymandering is a passion for me because I used to run judicial campaigns. I used to work on judicial campaigns, and I saw the benefit of running statewide. I saw how hard my party, Democrats, how hard we've worked to earn the majority of the Supreme Court. And I don't want to see that stolen. But Carol will certainly be able to speak to that further. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for being my guest tonight, Danny. And you have a wonderful evening and a happy new year to you. All right, everybody. That was Danny Seisler, an attorney in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, who is running for district attorney. And best of luck to you, Danny. All right, our next guest is going – I'm not going to talk about anything in between. I want to bring our next guest on so she can just pick right up where Danny left off. Our next guest is Carol Cooneyholm, and Carol is going to talk with us about the legislative system and what's going on with that, with, like, the rules of reform and bill squashing and all of that stuff, and – more on judicial gerrymandering. All right, Carol, welcome to News Forum. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Can you hear me?
All right. Yes,
good.
I can hear you loud and clear. Yes.
Great.
Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about your background?
Sure. My name is I am a I helped start Fair Districts PA in January 2016, so we're just hitting our 5-year mark. And I got involved. I was a youth pastor before that, and I had become really alarmed at the fact that there are schools that don't have school libraries, don't have school nurses. I was really struck doing my youth ministry work by the incredible inequity in funding for schools, that some kids can have schools that have every possible opportunity, and half an hour away there are schools that are among the least well-funded schools in the country. And I just didn't understand it. So I started trying to understand that, and the more I dug into it, the more I began to realize that all roads led to Harrisburg, that Harrisburg decided school funding, and that that there were many other issues that concerned me that all kind of led back to our state legislature. So I started trying to understand that, and people said, well, gerrymandering is really the root of it because people can't hold their legislators accountable. And if you can't hold legislators accountable, then you can't change things. So I thought, well, we've got to figure out how to change gerrymandering, and started a coalition which grew really quickly and got a lot of attention. And we had bills that had more co-sponsors than any other bills in their session. And they didn't get a vote. They didn't get considered in committee. They didn't get a vote. And that was, for all of us who were working so hard on that, we said, how is this possible? And that led us to looking at legislative rules. And we've just kind of gone deeper and deeper into trying to understand the hidden agendas, which is what you're talking about. And what we've realized is knowledge is power. But we have to have a lot of people know a lot of things to be able to bring enough power to bear to change what happens in Harrisburg, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Now, with the I'm really happy that you mentioned how the educational system falls right under the legislation here in the state, and because I talk about that often, and you know, some people say, oh, well, no, but it does lie with our legislators. And, you know, that's so very important that people do realize about bills that you have presented and, you know, bills that should have been voted upon, but they were never even introduced. So that's what I call bill squashing. They sat on the bill and did not even bother to bring it up for vote. And I think that's really, really terrible. One example, a good friend of mine, Vincent Moto, who was wrongfully incarcerated for 10 and a half years, he's been out now for over 24 years, and he has been fighting for a compensation bill, like, ever since he's been out, like, since 2005, back and forth to Harrisburg. I've been up to Harrisburg and Washington and other places trying to get a bill passed here in Pennsylvania, and he's worked with many organizations that have gone up to Harrisburg, you know, every year throughout the year, and promises were being made that, you know, they were going to put a bill together, and they were going to, you know, do a bill. One was put together back in, I think, like 2008, maybe, and one of the state reps never introduced the bill, so I understand that, and, like, I really have a heart for that as well. Now, can you go into detail about that and what the actuals to get a bill put in for vote, and then also pick up on judicial gerrymandering where Danny left off?
Sure. So the way it's supposed to work is that a bill gets introduced, and in many states, if a bill gets introduced, it gets scheduled for consideration in committee, and if the committee decides it's a good bill and they vote the bill out of committee, it gets scheduled for a vote on the chamber floor. And if it's in the House and it gets passed in the House, in many states, that it automatically gets scheduled for a vote in the Senate. Pennsylvania has none of that. And in fact, Pennsylvania has an agenda fairness score of 0. For our state legislature. There are some states that have a score of 100, where if there's a bill that gets introduced, it moves forward. And if it gets voted on, then it keeps moving forward. In Pennsylvania, less than 7% of bills that are introduced actually get passed. And 75% of bills that are introduced never, ever get considered in committee. So there are great bills on really important things, like the bill that you described. There are police reform bills. There are bills to create more equitable school funding. There are bills to address lead in schools. There are bills. We have the largest juvenile lifer population in the country. Actually, Pennsylvania has the largest juvenile lifer population in the world. That is young people who were accessories to capital crimes, before they were adults, who then got sentenced to life in prison, the Supreme Court has said it's unconstitutional to sentence juveniles to life in prison. And so most states quickly passed a bill that said anybody who had been sentenced to life in prison as a juvenile was now eligible for parole and would be considered for parole. Pennsylvania never did that. So we have still have many people who were sentenced as juveniles who are serving life sentences, and the state is slowly working through when those people appeal, then they're looking at it. But the legislature refuses to pass a bill to say that those people are all eligible to be reviewed. There's many, many bills like that would make a more just another one. Pennsylvania is the only state in the country that doesn't have a state mandated contribution to public defenders. So we have counties that really don't provide public defenders at all. And by the federal constitution says everybody has the right to a fair hearing and to public defenders. But Pennsylvania does not provide that. So depending on what county you're arrested in, you might get a public defender who actually does their job and defends you, or you might get someone who meets you 5 minutes before your case and says, oh, well, why don't you just plead guilty, without explaining what that's going to do to you. And that happens all the time. So those are the kinds of things that got me deeper and deeper into this, saying there is so much injustice here and so much inability to change it. And those good bills go nowhere. In fact, there were some of our African-American representatives, the Black Legislative Caucus, last spring staged a protest in the House and took over the speaker's podium to say, we've introduced police reform bills. This is a huge problem. None of those bills have ever been given a consideration in committee, and you need to change that. At that point, the speaker said, well, we will make sure that some of those bills get looked at. Two of the bills got looked at and finally passed, but there were two bills passed unanimously in the Senate that came over to the House. The House never even looked at them. And these are important bills. These are important bills. These are, you know, police officers who are fired from one department for gross misconduct. There's no data registry that shares that information with other police departments. So the person who shot the young man in Pittsburgh several years ago had been fired from several other police departments, but the police department in Pittsburgh didn't know that when they hired him. He shot that young man not long after he was hired in Pittsburgh. I could go on about the many injustices, the many good bills, and the complete inability to get them passed. And so we are trying to call attention to that and just say this is wrong, and that we have representatives who are completely unable to represent us. They write bills, they introduce bills, but the truth is that the Democrats in Harrisburg have no say at all, zero, no say at all about what bills get a vote and what bills move forward, zero say. Whether they're committee chairs or not, they have no influence on what happens. So when you say, well, call your legislator, if your legislator happens to be a Democrat, on judicial gerrymandering, that bill, every Democrat in the legislature voted against it. And so calling your legislator, they already know it's a bad bill and they're going to vote against it. It doesn't really help to call them. So let me just switch briefly to the judicial gerrymandering bill and then what we're encouraging people to do. The judicial bill, it's not called a judicial gerrymandering bill. It's called a judicial district bill. But your previous guest, Annie Seisler, did a good job of explaining that it's a serious problem because it gets in the way of the independence of the judiciary. It allows the legislature to kind of punish judges who didn't vote the way that they wanted them to on particular cases, and that's just not acceptable, that the legislature has that kind of control over the judiciary. We think it's a very bad idea, and there are no other states that allow this. Most states have been moving away from partisan election of judges because there's way too much money in it, and so people who have deep pocket connections can run, and people who are just public defenders, people who have worked for civil rights, they tend not to be the ones who end up getting elected as judges. They tend not to be the ones who are connected to the deep pocket funders. And so we end up with people who've been corporate lawyers or who have connections to funders who are our judges, and many, many states have moved away from that, and they've put in place a merit selection process where a panel will select highly respected lawyers from a mix of backgrounds. The governor then will choose one of those, and then the legislature will approve that person. There have been really good bills introduced on this for the last 50 years in Harrisburg, and none of them have been given a final vote, which, again, is just, it just should be put to a vote. It hasn't been put to a vote. This judicial district bill was pushed through very quickly, and if you look for transcripts of the discussion, you will not find them. You will find a 9-minute discussion in the Senate committee where one of our senators asked, if the question is diversity, this is going to create regional diversity, but the truth is, on our appellate courts, there's one African American and right now 29 white non-Hispanic whites. So talking about diversity, our appellate court has no racial diversity and does not reflect the population of Pennsylvania. But this bill would not address that. This bill would, you know, make sure that people from more rural areas might have a better shot at being on the court. But there are plenty of people on the court already who are from rural areas. So this bill got pushed through very quickly without good hearings, without any attempt to address opposition or concerns. And from what we've heard, the caucuses, the Republican caucuses, have already decided they're going to push this bill through really fast before the public knows about it and can complain about it. So it will go to referendum at the primary in May when most people don't show up to vote. And their hope is it'll get passed without too much public attention. Our job is to say, no, you're not going to get away with that. This is terrible. And we're going to speak out strongly. And you need to not pass this bill.
Okay, so now what can the public do to try to thwart this bill?
Yeah, so what the public can do, if you have a Republican legislator, if you have a Republican representative or senator, absolutely call them tomorrow morning and say, I heard about this judicial district bill. Please don't vote for it. Now, Danny was talking about House Bill 196. That was the bill number in the last session. We don't know yet what the bill number will be in the new session. So what we're talking about it as the judicial district bill because we're not sure what the number. It was House Bill 196. It might have a different number in this session, but it is the judicial district constitutional amendment. And if you have a Republican legislator, call them and say, please don't vote for it. It's a bad bill, and it would take away the independence of our judiciary. It really is an unconstitutional bill. If you don't have a Republican legislator, though, I would say the best thing to do, and for many issues, if you know that your legislator is already on your side, calling them and asking them to do something is really not that helpful because there's really nothing they can do. And at that point, the thing to do is to call the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader and say, we feel like we're not able to be represented because of the way the rules shut out our legislators, and we want that changed, and this is what we want on this particular bill. So we're encouraging people to call Representative Brian Cutler, who's the Speaker of the House, and Representative Kerry Benninghoff, who's the majority leader. We're encouraging them to call them and say, do not give this judicial district bill a vote. And if you do, make sure it's given plenty of time so that experts can offer their opposition and so that the public can hear why you think this is a good bill. It's not a good bill, and we haven't heard anything that suggests that it is. So I would call the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader. We're also really encouraged. So let me step back and talk about the rules again for just a minute. Those rules are not in law anywhere. They're not in the Constitution. They're not in law. The rules that govern the way our legislature works are voted the first day of session, and those govern the way that the procedure works for the next 2 years. So those rules could be changed anytime, and leaders are the ones who could change them. And they could put rules in place that allow all of our legislators to have some say about what bills get passed. They could put rules in place that allow every legislator to have one bill that gets passed, or to say every bill needs to be considered in committee, or to say that there are ways to move bills out of committee if they get stuck, if enough legislators agree. Ways to put a more fair process in place. And so far, our legislative leaders have not done that. We want them to hear from people to say, we understand what's going on, we don't like it, and we need the rules to change. So we're encouraging people to call the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader and say, we want our representatives to be able to represent us, and we need rules that allow that to happen. Because right now, more than half of the people in Pennsylvania have no one in Harrisburg who is able to represent them because of the way the rules are written. And that's not right. So we're asking them to create a bipartisan committee to study the rules and recommend changes so that we all have a voice in Harrisburg. That's what we're asking for.
Okay, that's what I was about to ask about bipartisan bills. Now, so bipartisan bills, they have more of a chance of making it to the Senate floor. Is that
No. So the bills that, our redistricting reform bills, in the last session, in the 2017-2018 session, we had 110 co-sponsors. That's more than half of the legislators, more than half of the representatives had signed on to our bill as co-sponsors. We had 39 Republicans and 71 Democrats. So that's pretty strong bipartisan support. And the bill got no consideration in committee at all, because the committee chair can say, I'm never going to look at a bill about whatever the topic is. So, for instance, in the Judiciary Committee, the chair of the Judiciary Committee said, I am never going to look at any bills that have to do with gun safety or police reform.
Wow.
That was that. After the Black Legislative Caucus did their takeover of the speaker's podium, that committee then looked at two police reform bills. There were, I think, 12 or 14. They chose just two. And the two were, you know, the least significant that they could find. And committee chairs are allowed to do that. So our bill was in a committee where the committee chair said, I'm never going to look at a bill that has a Democratic prime sponsor. It's not going to happen. And we're never going to look at a redistricting reform bill. It didn't matter that it had more co-sponsors than any other bill. And then in this session, the chair said, well, I'm going to ask my committee. But what he meant was he was going to ask the Republicans on his committee. So he never asked the Democrats on his committee. And there were enough Republicans on his committee who said they didn't want it that he chose not to give the bill a vote, even though our bill, again, in this last session, had more co-sponsors than any other bill in the session. It had about 100 co-sponsors, and more than any other bill, and many of them were Republicans, and it did not get a vote. So there are many, many bills that have sponsorship from both sides. One committee chair can simply say, I'm not interested, or we're not going to consider that, or a group of Republicans, since the Republicans are the ones in the majority right now, a group on the committee can say, we don't want to look at the bill. And even though the bill would pass because it has enough support in committee, the decisions are all made behind closed doors about what bills will get a vote. They're not made in public, and the minority party has zero say in what happens to our bills.
Wow. Well, Carol, I thank you so much for taking time to come on tonight. Now, do you have the information for listeners to call and contact the representative, Brian, and I didn't get his last name.
I do. I'll tell you. Yep. I will give you this information. I'll go slowly, and I'll tell you exactly what to say and call them tomorrow. Representative Brian Cutler, he is the Speaker of the House. His phone number is 717-783-6424, or you can email him, and it's bcutler, B-C-U-T-L-E-R, at pahousegop.com.
Okay, great.
The other is Representative Terry.
I just want to repeat that again. 717-783-6424.
That's it. Yep. And I would say put these two phone numbers in your phone and put these email addresses in your computer. And any bill that you care about that doesn't move, don't call your legislator. Call these people and say, this is wrong. The rules are wrong. If this bill can't get a vote, that's wrong. You need to fix the rules. call them. They need to hear from people saying, we understand the system's broken, it's not working for our community, and we need you to fix it. So that's Brian Cutler. Carrie Benninghoff is 717-783-1918. They'll say
okay,
that again.
How do you spell her last name?
And his last name is Benninghoff. And he's the majority leader. So he's the one who schedules bills for a vote on the floor. And between the two of them, they have almost complete control.
Okay.
So the Speaker of the House
and
the Majority Leader are the two most powerful. So let me repeat his phone number, and then I'll give you his email address, and then I'll give you the message that you want to give them. Okay? So his phone number again is 717-783-1918. And his email is kbenning@pahousegop.com.
Okay. Okay, great. All right, and now what is it that
the message, we want our representatives to be able to represent us.
Okay.
And we want a bipartisan
committee.
We want a bipartisan committee to study the rules and recommend changes so that we all have a voice in Harrisburg. And we strongly oppose the judicial district bill.
Okay, great. All right, that is wonderful. All right, thank you so much. Now, the deadline, now they need to do this like tomorrow, right? Because
tomorrow,
Tuesday,
the vote on the rules is Tuesday. And the likelihood of change is very small, but if there's enough people saying create a committee to study the rules, it is possible. And that's our goal, is to get them to say, okay, we're not going to change the rules right away, but we will create a committee to study the rules. That's our goal, is to get them to do that.
Okay, great.
So call tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carol, for taking time out to come on to News Forum tonight. I appreciate you, and you have a wonderful evening and a happy new year. And definitely keep me posted on all that's going on.
Yeah,
have a great one.
Talk again. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, everyone. That was Carol Cunningham, and she is the chairwoman of Fair District, Pennsylvania. All right, our next guest and callers, I know that you're waiting. You're eager to get on and make some comments and all. But I am going to bring on my next guest now, and we're going to talk a little bit about the last two guests that were on, and just reiterate on a few things. And then he is also going to talk about holidays and religion. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome Sun 752 to News Forum once again. How are you tonight, Sun?
Hey, what's going on, Chinchilla? Thanks for having me on. Feeling like a real man should. What's good?
All right. Okay, so now what is your take on what you heard about the judicial gerrymandering and about the legislators squashing bills and all of that stuff and never introducing bills to be voted upon? What is your take on all that?
Well, interestingly enough, first of all, I appreciate them coming on and putting the public on to many of the inner workings of how politics work, because for our people, we often vote based on our emotions or based on physical things that can be proven to be that can turn out to be irrelevant when we find out how the system really works. So, you know, for Black people, we really need to start understanding the way the system works, the way it can work for us, and the way that it has systematically and historically worked against us. One of the things that I noted when both of the guests were speaking was that, you know, we're talking about hidden agendas tonight, and none of the stuff that they were talking about are hidden agendas. You know, it's like they were talking about things that are hidden in plain sight, but it's also like talking to somebody who speaks a language that's foreign to you. You may be able to understand their passion, and you may be able to figure out some of the things that they're talking about based on their body language and things like that, but you don't understand, you're not going to understand the intricacies of what they are speaking about because they're not speaking in a language that you understand. So when we talk about legal, when we talk about legalese, when we talk about legal matters, you know, the legal system has their own language, and only attorneys have been taught that language. And so, and I'm talking about beyond the Latin, the Latin words that they use. They use a language, and they have a way of communicating with each other that we would not be able to do because we haven't gone to law school and been trained to speak or understand that way. But we need to do a better job with finding out how things affect us and the way that they affect our communities, our families, our neighbors, our students, our seniors, and our citizens. Basically, we have to do start doing our homework. And the simple way that you can start to educate yourself on the inner workings of politics is to just ask a simple question. Ask the same questions that you would ask if you were at your job. If you were offered a job at a new company or something like that, you would want to know about your compensation package. Well, that's the same thing that you should ask your politician. Basically, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of this? I understand what you're getting out of this because I think that Black people need to understand that politics is all about money. You're going to rarely hear a politician say that. But when it all comes down to it, that's the agenda of politics. Every law that you ever see passed or any bill that comes on the floor, it all has a money value assessed to it. You know, just like when you park your car by a parking meter or in a zone where it's no parking, you have to pay a fee for that. That's basically how politics works. What happens a lot of times is that we get caught up in the emotional part of it because that's the part of it that we understand. So we tend to believe that politicians and by the way, I'm saying all of these things not as a knock on the two guests that came in. I really appreciated the information and the passion that they brought to the table, because the information that they shared is valuable. But our people have to be able to disseminate and dissect all of the things that are being talked about. So when you look at politics in terms of a money aspect, you know, you can be upset that it doesn't have anything to do with people, but there's really no reason to be upset about that. It's not anything new, because you can also compensate for the lack of concern about people in politics by finding out how you can make the money aspect of politics work for you. So when we start talking about schools, we're talking about money. Daniel was talking about how so many bills are left. What do you say? 75% of bills are left on the floor. They go unpassed or untouched or whatever. That doesn't surprise me. I bet you if you went and looked at the bills that they tried to put forth, you will notice that those bills do not make any money. So, of course, they're not going to get passed. Of course, they're going to get passed over. Of course, they're not going to be considered because they don't make money. So whenever we're talking about politics or legal things, whether we're talking about incarceration, crime and punishment, the legal system, we have to remember that we're talking about more than judges. Everybody in that courthouse has to get paid, all from the judges all the way to the doorman. or whoever shovels the walkway. Everybody has to get paid. That's why if you've ever gone to court, you notice that even when you win, they still assess some type of fee to your participation. So, you know, you leave out of there thinking, well, I should have never even have been in here. But since you were, well, you know, you got to pay a little something, even if it's just your lawyer. I shouldn't say just your lawyer, because the lawyer that may have cleared you of the case, you may have paid them an upwards of a few hundred dollars all the way to thousands of dollars. So you're going to pay. But everything in the legal system, everything in the political system is all about money. You know, and when you follow the money, you'll find the truth. That's pretty much true in all areas of life. But in politics, it is A1. It's the number one agenda. So, you know, like I said, I appreciate it. I really appreciated what they were talking about. But for our people, which is my main concern, we have to learn how to listen and what we're listening to. We have to learn how to dissect it, pick it apart, and be able to use it for ourselves. So if we're talking about education and we're talking about schools closing or we're talking about not having enough resources to be able to purchase books or have extracurricular activities or getting music, art, and trades back in the schools, we have to ask, you know, well, where is the money coming from? Where the money used to come from when we had those things in schools? The taxes certainly haven't gone down. And if our county taxes or city wage taxes pay for the schools in Philadelphia, then where's the money? Where are the facilities? Where's
right.
the stuff? You know, most of the time you hear about us begging for a handout. You know, we talking about Harrisburg is not going to give this. Harrisburg is not going to approve that. Well, we shouldn't need Harrisburg. Out in the suburbs. The two guests they were representing Bucks County. You don't see the schools in Bucks County going to Harrisburg begging for money. They don't have to.
Right.
Their taxes pay for it. We pay taxes too.
Yeah, but where do our taxes go? Where they're going? Because yes, we do pay taxes, and we can't see it, you know, being put and funneled through to the school system at all here. It's like really crazy. And the thing with that is, like, parents don't ask. So they don't ask, they don't inquire what the money, where the money is going to and why the schools don't have funding. So, you know, it's just really a shame. Really a shame. And you're absolutely right that as a people, Black people need to start asking more questions. They need to start, I guess, knowledge is power. So, you know, it's no doubt about it. Knowledge is definitely power. And it's time really to be enlightened as a people and to gain some knowledge and some wisdom along the way, because things are getting like just thrown and put right over our heads every election. And Carol was saying, when people go out and vote, a lot of people just go out and vote and, you know, they really don't know anything about the bills that are out to be voted upon. And some people just go in and just pull straight Democrat or straight Republican and not really reading everything. But what we have to realize is that it does not matter for, you know, whatever party, political party someone's affiliated with. It's what do they stand for as a person, you know, what's on their agenda and things like that. So it is just really crazy, crazy, crazy. Man, that's crazy. So Omar, as far as education, what do you think of some of the hidden agendas within the educational system, other than the fact that in urban areas and the low-income areas, the monies are not being used for the education. So what is your take on that?
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about education because I have a lot of feelings and suspicions about the way the educational system is set up today. You know, I'm, as I mentioned a few minutes ago about music, art, and extracurricular activities, you know, we used to have bands. We used to have sports teams, and we used to have a lot more participation that enriched the school experience from elementary school all the way up to high school. And I think that one of the things that we need to do, Chinchilla, is we have to stop thinking about the urban school area as just a place where Black people go to school. Because, you know, although I 100% believe that there is a political and governmental agenda to eradicate Black people and practice genocide on us, and we have more than enough evidence to support that, we also have to look at how things are shaping up today. And when we, the first thing that people start thinking about when you talk about urban city areas, they start thinking about Black people. Now, of course, there are plenty of Black people in urban city areas, but we're not the only ones. And in most cities, we are not even the majority. And that would include Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia has become a chocolate city over the past few decades, and we've had three Black mayors who served two terms. But historically, the city of Philadelphia has been a culturally diverse city, and Black people have not been the majority. We definitely have a presence, a strong presence, whether we're talking about governmental or whether we're talking about social and political. But if you look at how the educational system is set up today, you have to, if we're talking about hidden agendas, we have to find out, first of all, we have to know what questions to ask, you know. So one of the questions that I ask is, what are the goals for the future of our youth today who are in school? We knew where we were headed towards, and what we were trying to do when we went to school when we were younger. If you grew up in the city of Philadelphia, you knew that you had neighborhood schools, like I'll take it all the way to high school. You had neighborhood high schools, and you had magnet schools. So the neighborhood high schools gave you a pretty well-rounded academic experience, but you didn't have a specific focus. So let's say you were interested in law, or you were interested in medicine, or you were interested in trades. You could get some of that at your neighborhood high school, but you may have to outsource and go to another place on weekends or during the week. You would probably have to see your guidance counselor in order to be steered towards whatever your future goals were. You understand what I'm saying? Now,
yeah.
With them taking, but you also had the option of going to magnet schools that were set up and designed specifically for whatever you thought you wanted to do for the rest of your life. So, you know, if you were strictly in for academics, the best schools to go to were Masterman, which is still the number two school in the state, whether you're talking about public or public parochial or other private schools. So, you know, when people say that the public school system isn't worth anything, well, how does that school still wind up number one year after year? You understand what
right.
I'm saying? So
right.
There is potential there. There's potential there. If you can do it at Masterman, and you can do it at Central, and you can do it at Girls High isn't ranked
right.
anywhere near as high as it used to be. But when we were growing
right.
up, it was a big deal to go to Girls High. So if you
yes,
can
it
do
was.
It at those schools, yeah. if you could do it at those schools, and you could do it at engineering and science and Bodine International Affairs or wherever you went, you can do it in the neighborhood schools too. You know, you
right.
shouldn't have to suffer. Now, with them closing so many of the schools, it's not just affecting black students. You know, for years, when we were growing up, for decades, the school with the highest dropout rate was Kensington High School. And that's not a black school.
Yeah.
When the focus is taken off of these facts and aimed at us, it makes it look like it's an us against them agenda. But it looks to me like, just like if they poisoned the water in Philadelphia, not only black people are going to be affected. Everyone who drinks the water is going to be affected the same way with the food. So if the schools in urban city areas are being compromised, then it's going to affect anybody who sends their children to city public schools. So these charter schools. Now, the idea behind the charter school sounded like it was a good idea, you know, smaller classroom sizes, the uniforms. They were mimicking private schools a lot, but now charter schools seem to be just the norm. It's just another form of a public school that seems to be sucking up a bunch of nonprofit money. That's the way it seems.
But
they're not offering certain services that I believe that children still need to have. You still need music class. You still need art. You still need sports and physical education. You know, physical education is a major in college. You know, so to take the emphasis off of, and also physical education goes along with health class in schools. And nowadays, I think health class is probably a pretty important class. So black people are losing, are being cheated out of a well-rounded educational experience and a focused educational experience. Taxes are being paid, which should be paying for any type of amenities that the children may need, but it's not being going. It's not going there.
Right.
So what?
Yeah, it's not going there at all.
Mm-hmm. So with the focus seeming to be mainly on academics, what are our children going to do with their lives for the rest of their lives? What are they being taught to be able to sustain themselves financially, familially, community wise? What are they getting? If you're not learning, you know, you took trades out of schools. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah, right.
That's a big issue
today. Sorry to interrupt you, son. But that is a big issue because they took the trades out of the schools. They took out the music programs. No more learning how to play instruments and things like that. And they also, like, did away basically with physical education, like for gym classes and all. And that's why so much obesity in young people today, because they really don't have gym the way we used to have gym, you know, climbing the ropes, doing the parallel bars, the uneven bars, the horse and, you know, the rings and all that stuff, and running, doing relay races. They don't do that in gym class anymore. And it's so sad that the money is not directed and used for programs to benefit our children, to keep them productive in society, and to keep their minds and their, you know, emotions and actions directed elsewhere, you know, on different programs that would definitely keep them off the streets. But, you know, that's not happening today in the educational institutions and we can just say right here in Philadelphia, it's not happening. And then to top it off, they got rid of a lot of the vo-tech schools like Bach and several other vocational schools that they got rid of. And you know, when guys went there, they came out with the trade, you know, but they got rid of Bach and a lot of other technical vocational schools, and it's just so sad. Now, Omar, I am going to ask you to stay on the line because we have, like, a whole lot of callers in the queue waiting to get on here, and, you know, we want to see what they're commenting on or if they have questions, and we're definitely going to have to revisit this education piece because we need, I guess, a whole show probably on education because there's so much to talk about. So hang on there and don't hang up this time. Stay on the line, Sun 72752. all right, caller number one, you are on the air. This is your girl, Chinchilla. Welcome to News Forum.
Caller number one, you're on the line. All right, we'll bring on the next caller. Caller number two, you're on the line right now with Chinchilla, Jonesia, News Forum on these OD stations.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi, welcome on the air. Caller number two, how are you?
Are you talking to me, Chinchilla?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Hi,
okay.
Millie.
Hi. I just a recommendation. I don't know if you can say a phone number or some way to identify because if somebody's on the call, they might not know if they're the one. You know what I'm saying? So. Anyway,
Thank you
very much for having such great speakers on tonight. I think it was a very important issue and raising awareness of the public, people that are on the call, to hear what is going on and how it will impact people so negatively. If something like that went through with the judicial, you know, bill where the things would not get to the fore. I mean, we need these things to be reformed so these bills can be voted on. And we know this last year we worked on all year to get House Bill 440 through, which was on the automatic expungement for exonerees so they would not have to pay to get the record expunged. And that expungement was so important just for purposes of getting a job or finding housing. And so we have much more work that we need to do. As you know, some of the people on the line might not know, but I am chair on the Pennsylvania chapter of It Could Happen to You, and we're in an advocacy group, and we're going to have a summit, a virtual summit on January 15th. We have a Facebook page, and there's much more that we're going to need to do. And what you were talking about earlier about the compensation, that's one of the bills that is going to be a panel on January 15th, and Representative Chris Raab will be participating on that. So that's very important. People that are exonerated after many years possibly being in prison where they shouldn't have been in the first place, and they're very handicapped when they come out. So we really need to get these things through. And the fact that the Republicans have the majority, Republicans might be on board, but maybe not all. And We need to make sure that we make these calls tomorrow. I've already sent a letter to my representative from my area, who is a Republican, speaking out to have them look at the rules reform. So we need to have that bipartisan committee, and we need to strongly oppose this judicial district bill because all people should be represented equally. We should not allow this gerrymandering. So I hope anyone listening on the call has noted the phone numbers. You might want to repeat them at the end, but
I'll definitely get them out again.
This needs to happen. And I wrote down a comment, and you had said it earlier, knowledge is power. So there's been some important information provided tonight, and I'm very excited about Danny. Danny running for DA, I think he's a great progressive candidate. And I don't believe that we've had a Democratic DA in Bucks County as long as I've been alive. So I think it's time.
I think it's time that we
have changed. And I know that he worked under Larry Krasner, so he had a good teacher there. And you know, it's time for Buff County to move up, you know? So, and
yeah.
I found.
All right. Well, Lily, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Thanks for listening and tuning in. And I appreciate you calling in tonight. And my producers let me know that there's a lot of callers in the queue here. And for each caller to just have 4 minutes. So I hate to cut you off, but because I love talking with you. Again, I thank you so much for calling in. And thank you for your comments tonight. And we will talk soon. And, you know, call check out next week's show next Sunday evening as well. All right, Millie, take care, okay? All right, next caller, you're on the air. Caller number 3, you're on the air with News Forum.
Hey, finally, I got through. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, man. Love your shows. Your shows keep getting greater. Much respect to all your special guests and speakers. And, I mean, you're one heaven of a speaker yourself. And shout out especially to the last brother. No respect to the disrespect to the sisters at all. But I wanna piggyback on what he said right quick. You know, with an answer. Here's my honest answer. After being in servitude and bondage for such a long time, you have a lot of us, 85 to 95% of us, are still so sensitive to the European power structure. And to be honest, the European power structure was created for them, by them, where some of them, well, most of them will make it, some of them won't, and only a few others will. And unless that is done, tore down, and we built on an equal level where all people, in regards to wherever you come from, and currently that hasn't happened, and it's not going to be, it's not going to happen, especially when you look at the original people who are the original owners of this planet, even though a lot of times through the education or the miseducation system, we weren't taught that. So now, you know, we have tend to be so sensitive to their education, to their real life, and it hasn't benefited us. And that's why we can't get the justice that we so badly needed. And here's my last example I want to say right quick about the European power structure. When they refuse to see outright murder that's been caught on camera, things they've been doing and getting away with it, they have been so sensitive to them and their kind. And then here you go, the people that's been in bondage for over 400 years and counting, all of a sudden 85 to 95% of our people are just as sensitive to them and what they do. And we don't have that same sensitivity when it comes to one of our own. Something's wrong with that.
Wow.
You know, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, and I got one more thing I want to say to you. Again, your shows keep getting greater. Congratulations, news anchor Tintella Janicia, on your ONE syndication station all-time connection record with your 5th all-time and 4th consecutive, and here's what's really important. Then the historic announcement being the first broadcaster to garner 4 million connections in ONE show all time. Now look at that.
Wow. Wow. Woohoo. Okay. Now I'm over here smiling, cheesing from ear to ear. Okay.
Hey, you got it going on. So, you know, the Magic Man loves your show, so, you know, hey. You know,
yeah.
you're right for earning.
So now you did not tell everyone who you are, Hooney. I know who you are, but tell everybody else who you are.
Yes, yes, yes. My tribal name is Hooney Barkatoon, a.k.a. the Magic Man Haru. I am the recently inducted 2020 Hall of Fame, and I'm also the broadcaster of the year voted by my peers. So thank you so much. I got a show that's coming up faithfully in about 2 weeks, and it's going to be pretty interesting. The name of my show is We Will Aware You, coming up on a Thursday, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Love you.
All right. Thank you so much, Hooney, for calling in, and thank you for giving me that great news. Thank you for your comments. And we're going to go to the next caller now. Caller number four, you're on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Sister Chinchilla.
Hi, Sister Bessie. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I am very much enjoying your show, very informative. I have something that I want to say. Last night we were talking on another host show, which was The Coach, and it was mentioned that millions of dollars went to the prison system rather than housing and systems that would help the poor at this time of pandemic. And I think that's an atrocity, you know, because you have a lot of people. A lot of people are being evicted from their apartments and homes, and people need this help. Now, you know, just like the brother said, this is geared for them to get paid. The whole system is rigged for them to get paid, but the people are not getting taken care of, but yet they asked us for their votes. And we are still suffering because the system is geared to the corporations, not us. And I just wanted to say they are not putting the people first. After they beg and pleaded for our votes, and, you know, I just don't understand why people can't see what the system is and not stand up and fight against it. You know, so I just didn't like hearing that part about them giving the millions of dollars to the prison system. This shows that the system is geared to putting people in prison instead of keeping them out of prison.
Yeah, so, and what happened with that money, unfortunately, like the, you know, this Senate here is Republican ran, so they basically do whatever they want to do here in this state, and that's really a sad thing. And with that money that was supposed to be allocated for to help, like, the landlords and help with the rent moratorium and different things like that, the state never used those monies. So since they didn't use them, the Senate, they took it upon themselves to vote, and they voted for those monies to be allocated to the prison system, which I think is a terrible, terrible, unjust thing, you know, to do that when schools and other things need funding here in this state. So, but, you know, that's what happens when people really don't know what's going on behind closed doors within these legislative governments and the judicial government and all. So it's a shame, really a shame.
Yes, it is.
I thank you so much, Sister Bessie, for calling in tonight, and thank you for listening to the show tonight. And I will definitely be checking out your show. And let everyone know when your show comes on.
Yes, I will be on this Friday coming up, Sister Bessie's Front Porch, better known as Sister Bessie the Truther, at 9:30. And I love you dearly, and thank you so much for your informative show, Chinchilla.
Thank you. I love you, too. Okay, thank you so much. All right. Okay, so we did have another caller on. This caller keeps inboxing me saying he was on and somehow got disconnected. Oh, okay. Let's see. Is caller number six still on in the queue, Brother O?
Actually, they are not, and we're going to go on. Here's the situation. When you guys come on, to the caller that called in from the area code 267-265, we do say unmuted and muted. So make sure you're listening carefully, okay? A lot of times, you know, you guys, this is the News Forum. It's not like a lot of the shows in Orange Dynasty. We come on with the topics, you know, and bring on guests, and their topics and their opinions mean a whole lot. So pay attention to when we bring you on, because I guarantee you you know, because of, you know, the longevity of your weight. Okay? We did say unmuted. And a tour of the other caller, hey, we try to get you in, the other caller, you know, we brought you on, and things happen. Call in next week. We'll love to hear you talk. Congratulations to Miss Chinchilla, Jonesia. I'm really, really happy tonight for what you've done for this network. You know, the first show to ever hit 4 million connections. What more can I say than thank you very, very
wow.
much for your, you know, your stewardship. You know, being able to run your show completely, you know, unaffected by micromanaging, because that's what ONI is. We're just great. And just continue to listen. And congratulations on your fifth ONI syndicated station all time connection record and fourth consecutive. She's a weekly host, you know, going back to the old school of Beverly Nation, that discipline. Thank you to Derek Gibson and Uptown Deuce from last night. Of course, Huddle Sports Nation, this is News Forum, and I am happy to say that Beverly Nation is advertising to ONI, which is Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprises, which is, of course, at www.thelookingglassentertainment@wordpress.com, as well as in Gozi Prime Time One at bedhead.com. We're in Gozi Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Gozi appearance at Google Plus. Ola Deli Malay when goes here Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio. Established 2013. Any comments, suggestions for a wonderful program tonight? Oh, Lay Day Lay. Donnie goes with myandgmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malay when goes here saying good night and good luck. To all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis, look forward to us also on Pinterest. Okay, at Ola Deli Malay Wingozi. And look forward also coming up. I am very, very excited, Chinchilla, for all of us here at ONI Dynasty. On the 18th of January, we'll all come together for the eighth time in our broadcasting history. It is our tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it'll be hosted by one of our young people. She was a 19er. Well, I always say she came to our network in 2019. It will be hosted by our domestic violence advocate and outstanding journalist, Ms. Sharice Lee. So get ready for our outstanding night. And, of course, you know, February 4th is coming upon us. It will be the 8th anniversary of Beverly Nation. And we will, for the first, I know a lot of people out there at Chinchilla say, wait, what happened to the old school celebrating Beverly Nation and celebrating Damon Network? Well, 2021, we're going to start going back to our basics, okay? Celebrating us. So there will be a Beverly Nation anniversary show that night, okay? Us coming together,
okay.
Celebrating 8 years on either Blog Talk Radio, Talk Show Radio, and coming back to Blog Talk Radio. We have put down serious work, and we're going to celebrate that. And also, June 27th of this year, we'll be celebrating the, wait for this, unbelievable, the fifth anniversary of Damon Network. So get with us. Because you know why? You know, Cousin Gozi says so, right? And again, now, Chinchilla, you have 2 minutes and 4 seconds left to go in the program.
Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. I thank everyone for tuning in tonight to this segment of News Forum for Hidden Agendas Part 2. I thank my guest tonight, Mr. Danny Stifler, district attorney. Well, I'm calling him district attorney already, so I guess he's going to win. But the candidate for DA in Bucks County, also Ms. Carol Cooney Holm, who is the chairwoman of the Fair Districts of Pennsylvania, and also Mr. Sun 752. And I truly thank him. He always has some deep knowledge to enlighten us with regarding these issues. And I thank you for your contribution to the show tonight. And I thank my producer and all of the callers tonight. And I'm so excited. I'm the first on this network to reach 4 million listeners. Whoa, I'm hyped, y'all. I am very hyped right now. But anyway, next week, tune in next week. Next week, the topic for next week will be more on hidden agendas. And we're going to actually have some of the people from the upcoming summit from the It Can Happen to You summit. So stay tuned for that for next week, same time, same place. Again, this is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. Have a great and wonderful night. See you next week. Oh, shout out to Karen. Karen.